Much of the interest in next month's midterm election involves our national politics. There's interest in whether the GOP will regain a majority in the U.S. Senate and in the hundreds of millions of dollars of outside spending across the country, often by anonymous groups. It may be good to remember the dictum often attributed to former Speaker of the U.S. House Tip O'Neill: all politics is local. So, do voters pay enough attention to local issues? How important are local and regional matters? For some insights, we turn to a mid-Michigan resident well known for his civic and electoral involvement. Mark Grebner served more than three decades on the Ingham County Board of Commissioners. For about as long, he's operated Practical Political Consulting, a campaign services and voter list organization, now based in Lansing. To get into our conversation, I first asked Grebner why he served all those years on the Ingham County Board of Commissioners.
I think that the clinical term would be perseveration. I don't like to start new things, but once I do them, I like to do them until I get them right. And if I don't get them right, then I just can't stop. I just keep working at it until I do.
Did you get it wrong for a lot of years then?
I look back at my early years in the Board of Commissioners, and I think of all the terrible mistakes I made, all the terrible things I said. I mean, causes I picked up that were a waste of time, things I didn't understand were happening. I mean, by the end, I was a much better commissioner than I was at the beginning. It took me about 20 years to really catch my stride.
How does that work? That's just an inevitable process of making mistakes and learning from them then?
Well, for me, I mean, it may not be true for anybody else. Maybe somebody else gets in and they're the best they're ever going to be in half an hour. But for me, I really learned how the county works after about 10 or 20 years and began to learn how to actually play it, like it's a complicated billiards game or something. You know, where I wouldn't be worried about sinking this ball, but I'd be worried about the third or fourth ball after I play the three obvious shots.
Okay. What do you say, or what would you say to people who are knowledgeable about national issues but disconnected from what's happening in the county or their township or their school board? Have you had that discussion?
Well, that's a very common problem. The people who are knowledgeable about local affairs are typically people who've stayed in one place for, let's say, 20 years, which is a fair amount of the public, but not most voters. And so our system, especially in Michigan, where we have this immense number of local units of government with very small geographic areas, it's really designed around almost freakishly rare people who stay put and don't even sell the house to move to a bigger one. Because if you do sell your house and move, you're probably going to move out of the city and into the township or vice versa, because the average person in Michigan is only 1 mile from the municipal boundary. So even you can stay in the same neighborhood and change cities. So the people who really understand DeWitt Township politics are not all the voters of DeWitt, but a handful of people who have made their lives the DeWitt Township Fire Department, mm-hmm. and the library and all those obscure things. It's most states have moved away from this hyper-local system, but Michigan still has 1,500 townships and cities, and probably another 300 other units of government, which are all so small that really you can walk out of any of them within, you know, in 20 minutes, walking in any direction, you will leave the city.
When you hear that voter turnout is forecast to be in the single digits, say, in an August primary, what do you think? How do you respond to that?
Well, in the first place, I wouldn't believe it, because in a typical August primary with something on the ballot, we usually have about 1.5 million votes. We have really about 6 million voters in the state. So it's really about a 25% turnout. That's pretty typical.
But very locally, though, it's apt to be a lot lower. It's apt to be single digits in local.
If you're talking about an odd year primary with nothing at the top of the ballot, that might be. Although even there, it's raised artificially because we have this system for absentee voting, where absentee voters, who are almost all over 60, become experts in local politics, because once they're on the list, all the candidates come to them, because after all, they always vote. And because all the candidates come to them and mail to them, they know enough to be voters. And so there's a very tight cycle in which the people over the age of 60, so they qualify automatically for absentee ballots, end up dominating local politics. It's So we have that curious little whirlpool effect. Other than that, the only time that non-absentee voters play a dominant role in local politics is when there's something genuinely interesting on the ballot that draws people's attention, some real controversy.
But these are still fairly light turnouts in general. How do you feel about chronically light turnouts?
I guess I don't have the same view that you might think, because somebody can vote for president because they like or dislike Barack Obama or George Bush or the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. But it's sort of like you have that skill set. Now you're able to vote in a national election. You can move anywhere in the country and vote for the Democrats or Republicans without much training. But when Meridian Township asks you to vote for Park Commission, which is an elected office in Meridian Township, how in the world can a person who has lived there for 2 years have an opinion about which of these candidates would be a preferable or a worse park commissioner? Or voting for the East Lansing City Council, I can't tell the difference in the political views of the five members of the City Council. How can anybody else tell the difference? I've been studying, you know, East Lansing City government for 40 years, and at this point I can't really distinguish the five of them. So I don't feel that, you know, a low turnout, if there's nothing to draw voters because of the top of the ticket. So if you're talking about, say, an odd year election, like in East Lansing, I don't think that a low turnout is particularly surprising. The countries that have very high turnouts also have very simple elections. In Canada, you either vote Parti Québécois or NDP or Conservatives or whatever they call themselves today. I mean, those are your choices. And you're done. They don't ask you to vote for Court of Appeals. They don't ask you to approve the bond issue to build a new jail. They don't ask you for the library expansion. They don't ask you to vote for Park Commission. They ask you, do you think that the national government's doing a good job, or you want to throw them out? And you go to the polls and you vote one thing. In the U.S., and particularly in Michigan, what are there, 70 offices on the ballot this November? How can anybody be expected to know those? And especially if you take away U.S. Senate and Congress, so we're talking about an odd year election, how in the world can most people ever form an opinion about the LCC trustees?
Mark Grebner is our guest of Practical Political Consulting of Lansing and longtime Ingham County Commissioner. You outed a bunch of Michigan non-voters a few years ago. Voter lists are your bread and butter. You looked at records and you sent out some mailed pieces that basically said, what, these neighbors of yours haven't voted. Tell us about that. What led you to do that?
My business, my profession, maybe I should call it, is the dynamics of voting, is why people vote and why some people vote, why other people don't, and what you can do to change turnout. So there's the standard conventional wisdom, which is false, is that people don't remember it's election day. And if you just go around and remind people it's election day, so that this November, on election day, if you went and said, it's election day, why there'd be people who were surprised and got up and went and voted. Well, obviously that's garbage. Nobody really misses the fact it's election. Everybody's looking forward to it as a sense of relief because TV will go back to normal pretty soon. So why do 50 or 60 or 70% of the public fail to vote? It isn't because they weren't reminded, and it's not because somebody hasn't come and preached to them about how important their vote is. The reason they don't vote is, well, there are several reasons. One is they don't really feel like they're qualified. But for a lot of them, they've discovered it's like jury duty in some places or licensing your dog. You license your dog, that's great. You don't license your dog and nobody comes by and tickets you. And after you've had a couple years during which you didn't get a ticket for having an unlicensed dog, you realize you don't have to license your dog in Ingham County. There's no tickets for not licensed dogs. And you don't vote. You can go ahead and talk to your neighbors as if you voted. You can pretend you voted. And nobody knows you didn't vote. So I came up with the idea that a much more efficient way of turning out additional voters would be to tell people, in effect, everybody knows whether you vote. It's a public event. It wasn't just here's a list of your neighbors and whether they voted. Your name was on it too. And I said, and I mailed this to your neighbors. So all of you know which of you vote and which of you don't. And let's just say that a great deal of excitement was caused. And the increase in turnout was about five times what we expected in advance. I mean, we all guessed that. I was working with two professors at Yale University on this project, And we expected an increase of about 2 percentage points in turnout. Instead, we got 8 percentage points in turnout. It was really shocking. We had thousands of angry phone calls. It was really amazing to have thousands. We don't know how many thousands because it completely overflowed our answering machine and we weren't able to bail it out fast enough to keep up with the people calling and screaming at us.
But this was a collaborative effort with you and a couple of people from Yale University.
Yeah, and I've been involved in 5 other such projects with research money through those professors or their colleagues and associates elsewhere.
What do you make of current efforts to increase voter participation? Absentee ballot for any reason?
All of those things help, but what we really need to do, if you want to really increase turnout, isn't just to make it somewhat easier. Everything we do to make voting easier increases turnout, but only by a little bit. So, for example, if a polling place is a mile closer to your home, it raises your probability of voting by about 2 percentage points. Well, that's something, but obviously we're not going to, you know, have everybody vote by putting their polling place, you know, next door to them. So we look for ways to make it more efficient, easier for people to vote, but there are limits because that isn't the main thing that stops people from voting. The main things that stop people from voting are, first, that they really don't believe that they know enough to vote, that maybe they know enough in a presidential election, but they don't know enough in a gubernatorial election because they can't distinguish. Or they maybe can know enough for an even year general where they're voting on a party basis, but they can't vote in a primary because they can't distinguish among the 5 candidates for state representative in their district, all of whom are the same party. So the first problem is a fundamental problem that cannot be easily solved, that voters realize that they're faced with difficult questions. What I was talking about before, that other countries give people much simpler questions. In the U.S., we give people insanely difficult questions and then just assume they'll solve them. The second thing is that people lapse into knowing and acting on the basis that nobody really knows if they vote. But one of the things we can do to bring some of that back is to make it so that whether you vote or not is public. Even if it's not public how you vote, I'm certainly not in favor of repealing the secret ballot. I mean, that just seems like it would create all kinds of additional problems that we've solved. I mean, let's not go back to that. But at least people should not be assured that you can pretend to be a voter and not bother voting. And so I'm interested in all sorts of research projects that will create a climate that people will feel that everyone knows whether they vote or not. The same as people know today whether you put out your recycling or not, right? They see that by just looking to see if your recycling bin is out or if you're a slob and you don't recycle. Well, we ought to have voting about as public as recycling.
Mark Grebner is our guest of Practical Political Consulting in Lansing, formerly of East Lansing and longtime Ingham County commissioner. Candidate debates are sometimes cited as ways to increase voter interest. Should there be more debates?
Well, there should be more debates, but it doesn't really increase interest. Debates are really aimed at, and they're adapted for, the interests of the knowledgeable few. Like anything, like any activity, let's say college football, maybe 80% of the country can name a team that they sort of support. But how many people attend college football games in a year? And the answer is, it's in the tens of millions, but not 100 million. How many people watch college football on TV? Well, maybe a lot of people, a little bit, but how many of them actually follow teams carefully? That same curve where you've got a small number of real experts and a larger number of people who are fanatic fans and another group that's even larger that are sort of casual fans and then a huge number of people who kind of half follow it and almost can understand what you're saying but don't really care that much. That applies to voting. And the debates are aimed at the 5 or 10% for whom politics is a big deal. Just like there are 5 or 10% for whom college football is a big deal.
And how do we engage a greater percentage of the electorate?
Well, I don't know that I really agree with the premise. I remember reading an interview, the woman in the Netherlands, a Muslim woman who was elected to the National Assembly, and I can't remember her name, but she came from a terrible environment where, you know, murder in an Arab country where her relatives and her friends were being hunted down and killed, and she fled essentially as a refugee. And she got to Holland and she said, I couldn't figure out why they held elections here. I mean, nobody's killing anybody. There are no bombs in the street, you know? What do you have to debate? Well, that's the problem. It doesn't, you know, local politics, national politics affects people a little bit, but I think that for 50% of the public, it's just not on their list. It's not nearly as important as their financial problems and their problems with their kids and the fact that their car is on its last legs or, you know, that they've got that whatever their problems are. You know, they've got medical problems and personal problems, and the country's problems with closing Guantanamo or the state's problems with funding higher education, those are something that somebody else can worry about. And so we have this graded, kind of stair-stepped series of increasingly interested voters. And, you know, you can push some people some direction toward being more active. But the idea that we're all going to pay attention to the Meridian Township Park Commission, it's just a fantasy. I mean, maybe I want to use the best example. We elect a court of appeals in this state. I am a lifelong devotee of politics, and I'm an attorney. I don't know who's on the ballot this year, right? How can we elect a court of appeals? And certainly, how can we choose between candidates for the court of appeals? And yet, this state requires us to go and choose candidates for the court of appeals. And I guess by hypothesis, I want to extend what you said, we should get everybody so that everybody should know about the court of appeals and have opinions about which judge has done a good job and which of the challengers would be a good replacement. No, what we should do is we should admit that we're asking people to do more than they can do.
After decades, what is it like not having to conduct county business, attend meetings, etc.?
Well, I actually show up for a few county meetings just out of, you know, nostalgia, and people are...
You forget you're not on the board anymore? And
I do occasionally say things from the audience, and they even ask me questions, and I realize how inappropriate it is. Anyway, they ask me why I was there, you know, because I show up just sort of randomly, and I explain I only go there when the weather is nice and I can bike to the meeting, and I don't really care what's on the agenda. So I sort of keep up with county affairs, but really out of nostalgia. I'd like to run for election to the Board of Commissioners again, just really because it's sort of recreational for me. But there isn't currently an opening, so I'm busily skulking around, watching for a vacancy to occur.
Mark Grebner is our guest of Practical Political Consulting of Lansing and longtime Ingham County Commissioner. I'm going to turn some of your wisdom on you now and simply ask you, who's going to win the contest for governor?
Well, I keep answering this the same way, and I feel like I should answer it a new way, but I haven't changed my mind. I think it's going to be Snyder, but if somebody said, oh, I'll bet you 3-1, in other words, I put up a dollar to your $3, then I'd bet on Schauer. So I think Schauer's got a shot, but it's not a great shot. And if you'd spot me 4 points, I'd take Schauer. If the win-loss, if I get 48 out of, you know, to 52, I think that Schauer can get 48% of the two-party vote. But it's more likely that Snyder's going to win. I mean, all the polling has pretty well shown that, and I think the polling is probably still accurate.
8th Congressional District?
You know, at one point I said it was a 45-1 shot against poor Eric Schertzing, against Mike Bishop. I don't think it's as bad as that now. It's probably more like 15-1. He's done pretty well, and it's still almost hopeless, but it's not completely hopeless.
And
it's pretty close.
Will the GOP regain a majority in the U.S. Senate?
That's not my world. I really only know Michigan. I agree with 538.com and the Upshot and the Washington Post, and they all say 60% chance the Republicans will take it. I don't know. That's not my department.
And how often does anyone comment on your similarity to Benjamin Franklin?
Roughly daily. I've now purchased a costume, so my Halloween costume needs are completely met because I just show up as myself wearing buckle shoes.
Mark Grebner, it's been fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mark Grebner is the president of Practical Political Consulting of Lansing and a longtime Ingham County commissioner. He was not wearing buckle shoes during our interview.